All right, welcome to the number 13 Weird for Good podcast, video hangout, online workshop series that we're doing here at the weirdforgood.com website. My name is Aaron Nichols, and we're welcoming you all back to join us again this week. I've got my friend Michael Wright here with me.
Howdy.
Michael, welcome.
Yeah, good to be here, Aaron. Thanks.
Good. Glad to have you back, man. For everyone that would like to check out Michael's work online, his writing and blogging series is fatherofone.com, and you can check out there what he's got to say about things going on in his world. And today, as we have done before, we are going to use my most recent blog post to host a discussion and hopefully get some kind of insights and share things with you guys out there, and hopefully it adds something to your life. So this week the blog post was called Newsflash, kind of short and sweet, and I want to read to you something that came across came to me since I've written this blog post. So here it goes. We could decide flat out to stop watching and listening to the news, and to stop reading it too. We have made an addiction out of being informed, as if knowledge of disasters could somehow contribute to our sense of well-being and serenity. Our lives will never be enriched by the gloomy pronouncements of unhappy people, fearing and judging all that they see. They follow fire engines racing toward billowing black clouds of smoke, and ignore the smiling youngster helping an elderly woman carry her grocery bags. One dramatic traffic accident on a major highway sends reporters scurrying, while the stories of 400,000 other vehicles that made it home safely go unnoticed. Newscasters replay over and over a fatal plane crash captured on videotape, but rarely depict the tenderness of a mother nurturing her newborn infant. Simple acts of love, safe arrivals, peaceful exchanges between neighboring countries and people helping each other are noteworthy events. The media bias towards sensationalism and violence presents a selective, distorted, and in the final analysis, inaccurate portrait of the state of affairs on this planet. No balance here. We feed our minds such bleak imagery, then feel lost, depressed, and impotent without ever acknowledging fully the devastating impact these presentations have on our worldview and our state of mind. Why not inspire ourselves rather than scare ourselves? And it goes on from there. So, Michael, where do you think I got this reading from? I mean, just a guess.
Steve Chandler.
Hey, good guess. But this is actually came from a book. I'll show it here. This book is called Happiness is a Choice by Barry Neil Kaufman. This was written in 1991. Okay. Now, didn't that sound like a current event, you know, a current status of the way things are this week in our world after the Boston bombings and everything else that's been going on?
Yeah. I wonder, I would love to go back in time, Aaron, and see what it was like before CNN came on the scene, before this 24 hours news channel environment that we have now. I would love to have a optimism meter and just go back in time and just and see if, you know, you kind of think that history repeats itself and people have always kind of been negative and you kind of have to fight upstream to get the good news sometimes, it seems like. From newspapers and the TV, but it seems like now it's like a fire hose of the negativity and the things coming at you. It's crazy. I mean, just to cut on the TV and you've got all these channels coming at you with that.
Yeah. So I just think you're right on. It is a fire hose, and it's interesting to me that I happen to be reading this book, and it was recommended by our friend Melissa from Chicago, and if I have the story right, she was a student of this this author, Barry Neal Kaufman, and his option method is something that she is very well versed in. But, you know, to think how long this is, you know, 22 years ago that this was written, and it just feels like right now in our world. And just the way I ended it there, where I stopped, it said, why not inspire ourselves rather than scare ourselves? And you know, part of what I wrote in the post was about Wayne Dyer had recommended the same thing, the same sort of awareness about the news and what messages we're signing up, we're choosing to put into our minds. And that really shifted, you know, my perception of things a few years ago on what kind of messages I want to voluntarily put into my mind.
Mm-hmm. And the thing about it, Aaron, is like the things you see on there, whether it's a wreck or three people get shot or, you know, it's, you know, you watch the local news, you think, well, it's close to me. The national news is far away, but there's stuff happening everywhere. But the bad thing about it, there's not a darn thing you can do about it. I mean, there's nothing, it doesn't inspire you to do anything but to worry. I mean, it makes you aware that, okay, maybe, you know, there's a certain part of town or a certain convenience store that you better not stop and get gas at or something. Then you start thinking, well, maybe all convenience stores are bad to stop and get gas at because, you know, they get held up. Or maybe, you know, it's just bad stuff you read in the news. That's what I think about. It's just a whole lot of negativity that you can't do anything with, but you're left with it. You're left with all the garbage. Well, how do you go from there? There's no call to action. There's no one saying, okay, this happened, so let's go do something about it. Or it's just kind of dumped out on a tray for you to to slop up.
Yeah, wow, that's powerful. Dumped out on a tray. Earlier you were talking about, you know, worrying is something that watching the news can do for you. You know, one of the messages that I learned from Wayne Dyer was a basic understanding that was new to me that says, you know, if I see a bunch of sick people on the news, does my sickness, if I were to get sick because I see sick people on the news, does that make them less sick? Or if I'm to see hungry people on the news, could I get hungrier and that makes them less hungry? And that doesn't really make sense, right? But sort of along the same lines, it's like if I see people that are hurting, even in another part of the world or even in Boston, if I see people that are hurting, does me hurting make them hurt any less?
No, it's kind of like the mentality that you hear about, okay, so if you have the rich and the poor, if the rich just give more to the poor and become poor themselves, that'll help society as a whole because everyone's kind of in the middle, kind of the same. But that's not really how it happens. When you prosper, when you're thinking positive thought, it brings, you tend to emit this energy, this power that pulls people up alongside you. So if you come down to the level of the negativity and you become like them, you become the news, it's not, you're right, it doesn't benefit anybody. You're being, I don't know what the sympathy or empathy, it's you're putting on their shoes, but who wants to wear their shoes anyway? They don't even want to wear their shoes. So they want, yeah, you're right. That's dead on. But by watching, I think by consciously not watching those kind of things, you become the kind of person that pulls people out of those kind of things. You can improve the world by not actually, there's a thought, you improve the world by cutting off your TV.
Well, you know, did I mention the name of this book? It was called Happiness is a Choice. and this is some advice he's given in 1991, you know, that Maybe we could decide to flat out stop watching and listening to the news. So I'm not all the way through this book, but I'm sure it'll keep giving me more insights like that. And yeah, so if I can get that my worry and my sadness can't make someone else less sad or less worried about something going on in their life, then what could I shift that to concern, right? Like right. I want to clear up something that I wrote in the blog when I said that you know, I could be a more informed citizen of the world, and by that I mean I could watch more news and know about more of the current headlines. I said I could be more compassionate to the struggles of people in other countries and things like that that you're not going to get if you don't watch the news. Now, I want to clear that up because to be truly compassionate and to be concerned for someone else is what you said, you know, would be something like a call to action. So what could I do in my world that would affect or create an effect of, you know, actually lifting up someone else somewhere else in the world or someone who's going through something, a struggle, that we just proved that worrying for them will not help them out. So what can I do in my world if I want to shift into concern, which has a level of action attached to it? You know, what would that look like?
Yeah, I mean, the world is so big. I mean, even in your own town, Princeton, Kansas, you know, it's not St. Louis or Kansas City, but it's got enough people in it. You could spend your whole life just trying to serve the people there. And so I think it takes some, honestly, when you get to those big things like what can I do, I think honestly it just takes some, you know, I heard Eugene Peterson say, he's the guy that did the Message Bible, that how do you live the Christian life? And he said, just do the next best thing that comes along. The best, it's like from last week, you guys were talking about, you know, staying out of the safe harbor. There is no safe harbor. It's just putting legs to... If you put legs on worry, you know, that it turns it into concern, and you're doing something about it. You have options, you have choices, and honestly, you know, asking my approach these days, man, is just asking God, what do I do next? Because honestly, this world is too big, and I'm so narrow-minded. I can only see so much, you know. So I ask for guidance. I don't hang there for a month. I just hang there for just a short period of time, and then I just go from there. I mean, so yeah, I think that's what you do, Aaron.
Well, I think you're onto something there. You know, prayer is powerful, and that is something that can cross space and time and affect change in powerful ways. I think improving myself, you know, the stuff that we talk about on this blog that you and I have discussed now at length and after our 13th, you know, try at this, you know, if I'm improving myself and basically becoming a more capable sailor of my own little ship in the world, does that help the world overall? You know, I'm going to contend that yes, it does. And so that is something that if I'm more capable to handle my own life struggles, if I'm more capable to become prosperous, if I'm more capable to share myself or to volunteer or to, you know, give of my time, energy, money, things like that, that helps the world immediately around me, which then can help the world at large. So... I get to start right here at home, you know.
Here's a quote for you. I couldn't remember exactly how it went, but it's Howard Thurman. I've heard it several times. I think it applies to what you're saying, Aaron. And the quote goes like this. It says, "Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. And I think that when the world sees an aliveness, there's something about you that just builds them up. And it makes them want to come alive. And it's hard to be negative when you're alive. I mean, there's so many positive things about being alive. I mean, really alive. And honestly, Aaron, I mean, just I was telling you before we came on how I just took a little 15-minute nap before we started here. But and I thought, well, you know, I'm kind of tired. You know, maybe we can reschedule it. But I mean, just talking about these things, Aaron, it does bring a sense of energy. It does bring, it does build oneself up. And just talking about it, and you know, there's an aliveness to what you're doing here on your blog and through these podcasts, and so I think you are right on, man. As you are becoming more and more alive to who you are, the world will benefit from that. That's my 2 cents.
Well, I'll take that 2 cents to heart, and I hope the people watching this do too, because this I hope this comes across without the ego playing in, because you know this is just a truth that we need Michael to be here in this space. You know, Michael's a guy in Georgia, and Decula, is that how it is? Decula, Georgia.
That's right.
You know, you're affecting change in Franklin County, Kansas. And how does that happen? I don't know, man. You know, it's like this stuff's just so cool how when we're getting out of our comfort zone and we're trying things and we're experimenting, you know, this relationship started, a year, 2 years ago, maybe? Year and a half ago?
Seems like almost 2 years now, Aaron, yeah.
Yeah, so you know, it's like these little things eventually lead to something. It's like the little baby steps of you and I doing a Skype hangout just as accountability partners a couple years ago on a homework assignment, basically. You know, all this stuff leads somewhere, and we don't have to know exactly where it's going to end up, but taking these little steps is really important. And I think one of the things is, we kind of mentioned this before we started as well, was, you know, what's the message here? The good news, what is that good news? If you're saying that I can spread some good news as I become more of me, I give you the same celebration of you becoming you. So I think it's just a human thing. It's not a me thing, not a you thing. But, you know, that good news, that message is what I went last week to a speaker at a big convention center, Christian author and radio host and David Jeremiah, and there was all these people there, and it's like I'm walking in and I've seen a great speaker in a small setting like Steve Chandler in person, you know, Michael Neal, these guys are well known, and I've seen them in a room with just 20 of us, right? And I've been so excited to be there, and you're getting so much out of it. And then the other night I'm in this auditorium with 8,000. It's like, what brings you in to watch someone else talk, you know? And something just was kind of telling me, it's the overall message. It's about me. You know, I want something from this. That's why I'm showing up. I want to hear something. I want to hear some good news.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's Steve Chandler, what he's kind of unpacking for me is something that I see, oh, you know, that's something I can use, and I now have new tools, and I want to be more like this speaker in certain ways. And the same thing with David Jeremiah, you know. But what is the message, and what is the good news? I think you and I know what the real good news is about, and we're fortunate for that.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. When I read that's pretty cool, because you got to wonder I think the majority of people didn't go because they were just kicking and screaming because they felt guilty if they didn't go. I mean, I don't think that was the case. I don't think people go to hear speakers against their will for the most part. I mean, their wife or husband might say, oh, you need to, you know, let's go. And they're like, well, who is this guy? But, you know, you go get a taste of it. They're like, oh, not so bad. You know, that's pretty good news. A whole lot different than watching the 6 o'clock news and at 6:30, you know, feeling like you've come alive and what you've been fed. You know, I'm sure the sense of anticipation and the sense of creativity and the sense of hope after David Jeremiah was a whole lot different than sitting in front of the news, for sure.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there. You know, it was a message of hope. That was the thing that permeated, you know, the whole place. And I'll be quite honest with you, you know, an event like that, they're going to promote things, right? They're going to promote that there's a book for sale. And the message, the sermon, if you will, was basically in relation to the book and the songs and everything, you know. So there was even a commercial aspect to this thing that, hey, we need energy to keep this ministry going. So in the nightly news, there's sales that happen there, you know. There's depressing things on the news, and then they sell you antidepressants in the commercials. So
never thought about that.
You know, it's like the message of the nightly news is going to be drama, terror, worry about a world falling apart, and then here in this other place, we saw people get together and want to see hope and want and yearn, you know, for that good news. And I tell you, at the end of this thing, which I didn't know they were going to do, or, you know, it just, you just wonder about these stories of these certain people. But, you know, they ask for people to walk up at the end and accept Christ. And if they've never done it before, they give them this chance to. And, you know, you just can't help. But when you see it, like a guy in a cowboy hat that looks like he just, you know, hadn't been in town for a while, put it that way.
Uh-huh.
You know, walked down there, and he was a strong man and a proud man, but he was feeling humble in that moment, you know, and it just,
wow.
You know, and it grew. You know, there was probably, I don't know how many people, there was probably 100 people by the end, you know, that walked down to the front, and people were praying with them. And man, I tell you what, you don't even have to be Christian, I'll tell you that, to not just feel something deep inside you when you see that. It's just, that's that hope. It's like people are transforming, people are trying, people are stretching themselves. That message is always, always hopeful. And so one of my questions after all this, to kind of point us a little bit further down this road, is like, I don't know exactly what the message is here at Weird for Good. You know, I can't tell you what that is. I'm a little too close to it. It's a little too, I'm right inside of it. So I can't even tell you what the message is here exactly. But I hope that we're developing some kind of message. You know, I hope that people are getting something out of it. And I'll tell you, Michael, if you weren't able to do this tonight, we wouldn't do a hangout. You know, these are discussions. These are things about people sharing with one another what real life is like and what, you know, drives us and connects us. So it's not just about me and what I wrote or whatever. It's like you're just as much a part of this as anybody. So,
well, I know you wouldn't call you probably wouldn't just on your own say that your website was a website of hope. It sounds kind of cheesy to say that in my mind a little bit, but it's, when you think about it, it's that's what it really is. It's you know, it's a story of a guy who's on the road. He's on the path. And what is he on a path to? A path to destruction? No. Destruction was behind him, and he's going that way. He's going toward hope. He's going toward prosperity. He's going toward bigger things. And I think when you share that, other people, you know, I mean, I think we're more alike, not just me and you, I mean, the whole world. I think people are more alike than they are different. They all have hopes, they all have dreams, they all have aspirations of life. And at the end of their life, they want to know that they did something that mattered. They want to have made a difference. And I think that's just common thread. Even these guys in Boston, from just what little bit I've heard, and I've not heard much, they had a goal, and they wanted to make a difference. Now, albeit it could be some kooky religious reason, but they wanted to make a difference. And I think that's what your website does, Aaron. It captures that common thread in all of us, that you want to make a difference with life. You want other people to come with it. Nobody wants to walk this walk alone. You want to carry people with you. So I think that's what your life is about, and it's going to be more about, is that you're walking the path literally from destruction, from death to life, and in more ways than one, right? And you want to carry people along with you. And I think that's what your blog's about. You can call it hope, or you can call it change, hope and change. Sounds like a political mantra, doesn't it? Yeah, hope and change.
That's
why I don't like to say, that's why hope and change, I don't, they're overused, but I mean, they.
Well, you know what, I can only humbly say thank you for those kind words. I mean, that's just like, man, I certainly don't consider myself to go looking for that kind of compliment,
you know,
but
if I thought you were some con man, I wouldn't say that, Aaron. I mean, but what I'm trying to say is that you, like my pastor, who we adore, he just lays it on the table. He doesn't try to wear a suit and tie every week and act like his life, he's got it all together. He's not, because we all know that if he said that, it'd be bull. I mean, it's nobody has it all together. But you can have it more together as you go along day by day, you know. And I think that's the kind of writing that you put out there. I mean, nobody would make up that stuff you're putting on there. You can't make that stuff up.
Now, unless, that, I like that. You can't make this stuff
you
up.
You can't. I mean, unless you're really good. Unless you're, yeah, and I know you're not on any kind of, I know you're not chewing tree bark or nothing, so I know you're not making it up.
We're not licking hallucinogenic frogs around here in Princeton.
Right.
That's so awesome. You're right, because the truth is stranger than fiction. The truth is better than fiction. The truth is more alive and more interesting and more dynamic and has more hope in it and hits you deeper than fiction can. I hope we are bringing that. And you're such a part of that too, especially, you know, these things that people can access in a different way. They can play them or watch them. We're getting close to wrapping up here today, but one of the things I want to throw in that I did write about some, and you know, this is another kind of truth stranger than fiction. I'm going to be seeing Wayne Dyer in person this weekend at a writer's workshop in Denver. It's one of those weird things. Like a few years ago, I had on a bucket list that I was going to meet Dave Ramsey, and I've done that, and through working with his staff there in Nashville, and this one just came up as an opportunity, and I have a friend in Denver that I'm going to be able to visit and everything, so I wanted to do it. But you know, when you put something out there, and some people might call it that intention or the secret or that kind of stuff, but this isn't just sitting around doing nothing from the time that I thought about meeting Wayne Dyer till now. I mean, there's been a lot of things happen since then. But it does, it's a little clue that tells you, ding, you know, like where I thought I wanted to head to, I kind of get to kind of cross that milepost off my journey. right? You know, I get to do that. So I'm excited about that, and it's going to kick off some more writing stuff for me. And so I hope people have that kind of those kind of goals. And you mentioned goals aren't always a positive thing, but it is something that's in us, and I hope most of us are using them that way.
Yeah.
But
that's cool, man. That's so cool. You meet Wayne Dyer.
Well, you know, I know there's probably a lot of opinions about spirituality versus Christianity and a lot of this stuff. And I'll tell you, I don't have it figured out. I get confused often in that arena, and because I love things that inspire me, and I love things that connect with me, and they're not always just in the good book. I mean, there's a lot of things that I get connected to. So, but I will say that if it weren't for someone like Wayne Dyer, who's not strictly Christian, but he is spiritual, that was a pathway for me to make it back to the church. So I don't think, you know, my good friend Jesus would say that's a bad thing. I just can't see that. So
no. The Lord anyway. Works in mysterious ways, Aaron.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Yep.
All right, man. Well, you rock, Michael. Thank you for sharing a little bit about the news with us today. I think we've put an end to the idea that we can get sad enough to make somebody else unsad or worried enough to make someone else unworried. And that was the main thing I wanted to share today if people haven't heard that message before. So thank you, sir.
Absolutely.
All right, man. Well, catch Michael on his blog, fatherofone.com. Anytime you'd like, and visit us back here again for another Weird for Good hangout next week. And until then, have a great week. Thanks, Michael.
All right. Thanks, Aaron. Have a good day.
All right. Thanks.